Perfect.
The Career Tree, a podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
So this is our last podcast before you take off to the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle.
Wow. So since you're starting with musical themes, as we announced a couple of weeks ago, Sunday was the BET Awards. For those of you who might not know, BET stands for Black Entertainment Television.
Racism. Reverse racism.
I'm pretty sure that's not what it stands for, considering it's owned by white people. And it was really, in my opinion, probably the best awards that they've put on in years. To my surprise, Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar opened the awards with what is considered an unforgettable performance. It was
advertising slip and slides.
Okay. So for some reason, some people felt like it was great. Some people felt like it was great choreography. I don't know that I would ever use great choreography when describing anything Beyonce does. But,
wow, you're gonna come for the lady dancing? Like, she could dance before she could sing, so
she never dance for real. Are you kidding me? Go back to the days of Destiny's Child when they did their choreography on their own. Please refresh your memory. Anyway, but I will say the setup was dope. So she had a lot of dancers, of course, who accompanied her. They came down a walkway. There was like smoke and fog, all of those things, and then her and Kendrick Lamar like splished and splashed in water and this headbanging and gave everything to start the show, in the words of freedom. And I will say, I felt like the whole award show were about freedom, weren't they?
The whole award show?
Yes. Did you see how Bilal, like, he like conjured Prince into his body? Janelle Monáe showed her cheeks when she was giving her tribute. She had the booty out pants.
As did the host.
Anthony Anderson and Tracee Ellis Ross were amazing hosts. I don't know if you watched their little sequence where they, of course, because why wouldn't they, where they integrated Hamilton into the show's performance. They were in Hamilton costumes and did like a Hamilton style singing of some of the songs nominated. The worst being Designer, who everyone's talking about right now.
Oh my God. This is how you make a career out of having ADD.
I don't think he has ADD. I think.
What is happening?
He might have a learning disability. I don't know. Kevin Hart was on a radio show recently and was given the lyrics to the song and he had to rap them. And he got about four bars in and he was like, are these really the words? Like, I can't even.
Those are really the words.
I can't even continue. Pandas? Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are really the words. I mean, I feel like the entire persona, the entire brand is just like outrageousness. That's kind of what he's going for.
Did you see the meme, though, where Fabulous is looking at him when he's like, he comes. So for those of you who might not have seen the meme yet, Designer like in the audience and he's just feeling himself. He's just very hype.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Like as they're doing mic checks.
And Fabulous like turns to him like, I need for you to get it together. That's the face. He's like, I don't know what this is, but I need for you to get it together. But of course, the highlight.
He's just happy to be there. It might be his last. I don't know. We'll see his staying power. But I'm glad he enjoyed himself.
I'm glad he enjoyed himself, too. And I'm glad that Future failed miserably at his performance so he can keep Ciara's name out of his mouth for all of eternity. Did you see that performance?
Oh, never drop a performance. Is he kidding?
Future had people going to sleep, taking bathroom breaks. It was deep. Oh
my gosh.
It was sad. But the highlight of the evening of
fuck niggas never win. I didn't put curses on them, I'm sorry. As a whole, as like a block, right? Like, we just never win.
The highlight of the evening goes, of course, to Jesse Williams. Jesse Williams, who I have been following forever because I am a Grey's Anatomy fan. Many people know him as Jackson Avery on Grey's Anatomy. He's been there forever. I don't know. What are they in, like the 12th season? I think he came in on season 4. I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, he's great. But he's also starred in other films like The Butler. He was in that. Had a small role where he was a professor who was kind of leading the sit-ins at the diners in the South. So, you know, he is a well-paid actor. He's a very attractive man, and he's very active on social media and in the streets. He has always been loud about activism and its importance. And he does, I don't even know that he considers himself an activist. He does have a picture on his Instagram that says A for activism. But he received the Humanitarian Award. I didn't even know BET did that. But anyway.
Who's received it in the past?
I don't know. I don't know.
What the legacy of the Humanitarian Award is. I don't know.
That's like why I'm not sure. But so he received the Humanitarian Award and
gave the best acceptance speech of all times.
I wouldn't even call it an acceptance speech.
They're going to teach it.
Cool. I don't think it was, you know, acceptance, like,
people
speech.
Watching history happen. They had the transcript after like a millisecond when he was done. And then, you know, it's going in somebody's textbook or it's get at least a handout. There's professors in the copy room with it right now.
But it's not, I don't even think it's an acceptance speech. It's like a call to action. And what I love about it is, we'll get into some of the details in a moment, but, you know, I have to say my favorite part was when he was speaking and, you know, Black people get taken to church real easy, like, and Black people were in church standing, amening, clapping their hands. And he said, "I ain't finished, y'all. I ain't finished."
And he came for him.
He so had only just
need to wake
begun.
Up.
Only just begun.
You wake saw, up with your bougie butt.
You saw actors like Jamie Foxx crying. And I think it's interesting because Jamie Foxx has had a very interesting progression himself. Now, he is someone who has openly said he thought when he made it in Hollywood that he wouldn't be confronted with any issues anymore until he got pulled over by the police one time for driving a fancy car. And he said it was a reminder to him. It was a wake-up call. Not to mention the fact that he's been one of the biggest celebrities in the campaign for justice concerning Trayvon Martin. He was very moved by that story. And many people mark Trayvon Martin as kind of the beginning of this current Black Lives Matter, Black movement of liberation, whatever. Many people mark that as the beginning. And he was right there. He's very close to Trayvon Martin's parents. He wears a Trayvon Martin shirt every opportunity he has. He celebrates the anniversaries and the birthdays with the parents and puts on big events in order to keep fundraising alive. So it was interesting to see him crying. But let's get into Jesse Williams. So Jesse Williams, he started by thanking his family, his beautiful Black wife who has taught him so much. For those of you who don't know, Jesse Williams has a white mother and a Black father. And he said he thanked both of them for teaching him what, you know, he wouldn't have learned otherwise. And then he went in immediately to thank Black women for all of their work because they are often neglected and they neglect themselves in order to put everyone else first. And he said, he gave a promise. He said, "We will do better." I thought that was quite powerful. That was, for me, more powerful than the rest where he was listing, you know, names and reminding people of the lack of progress the country is seeing.
I'm going to need to know who the signatories are on We, because I don't think Future is a signatory. right? I don't think 50 Cent is a signatory
really?
On
was
the We.
Was 50 even invited to the BET Awards? Why are we talking about 50? Is 50 relevant today?
Lifetime invitation. What's he talking about? Fitting. I'm just saying. I mean, like, I love that, but there's also, and he speaks on it, this culture in Hollywood, that, and not only Hollywood, but in the music industry, just in, you know, these rarefied spaces, that is really toxic for people in general, and I think especially for Black people.
Well, I will quote that part of his speech. He says, "Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money. That alone isn't going to stop this. Now, dedicating our lives to get money, to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our body, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies," end quote.
I ain't never getting no tattoos, Jesse. Don't worry. No.
pretty sure that's not what
you like. You missed the point. I know what he was saying. Solidarity, yo.
Okay.
I understand it. I get it. But no, I mean, look, he made so many points. One thing that came out of the Jesse Williams speech is that it is very clear to me that white people will hear whatever they need to hear at whatever moment, which is why they have sanitized Martin Luther King's entire existence, mm-hmm. right? Even though we have transcripts and audio.
Yeah, we got receipts.
Right. They have sanitized that entire existence, mm-hmm. and which is why
even Justin though Timberlake, white people were responsible for his death.
Right. Came out of his mouth to say something. After he is such a culture vulture
himself. Who, Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I didn't bother reading that. What did he say?
His first tweet was very simple. It mm-hmm. said, inspired, Jesse Williams, BET Awards, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just haiku. And someone came at him and was like, oh, really? Did you know that he was talking about you? Does that mean that you and all the music that you appropriate and steal? And by the way, are you going to be apologizing to Janet? So, boop, 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 boop.
Oh, they brought Janet back up. Okay.
They brought Janet back up. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody forgiving for Janet. I mean, look, medium free. You can't write a think piece, B. You can't, right?
You said
I was a young man and I was asked to do the Super Bowl. Like, you'd have forgiveness in 5 seconds if you just, like, came fucking clean. Mm-hmm. And my people at that time told me to stay quiet, but I knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
All of it. Just come clean. But you threw her under the bus and kept walking, you know.
Uh-oh.
Started making movies and shit.
So what did he respond?
He was like, as soon as, he said, oh, my dear heart, like some patronizing shit. Uh-huh. Oh, my dear heart, or some shit like that. Uh-huh. As soon as you realize that we are all one.
No.
He said hashtag all lives matter.
He did not. JT did not write no all lives matter.
Write that. But the way the
okay, well, let's be clear now. You got me thinking JT talk about some black all lives no, matter. He know better
than
that.
We are all human. We are all the same. Mm-hmm. Bitch, that is not what Jesse was saying. And who the fuck said we wasn't human? Are you arguing against somebody who said we was alien? It's a non sequitur and irrelevant. What the fuck is you talking about, JT? And so he did a deflection, a patronizing, and a stating of truths that aren't relevant to the conversation and derail the conversation. Hashtag all lives matter. He didn't do the hashtag. I am interpreting the entire tweet as hashtag all lives matter. Because okay. That is exactly the strategy mm-hmm. of an all lives matter tweet to a Black Lives Matter statement, right?
Indeed.
So then they came for the juggler.
Uh-oh.
Because it was just that one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was everybody.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw an article about JT needs to check his whiteness, but I was like, I can't even do this today because...
I know you stand.
Because that chick, what's her name? Tommy, Lauren, whatever her name is, who like...
Freshman,
she has that show, you know. Anyway, white chick, blonde, very ignorant.
Well, it's just straight up
lace. And like, I got through about 30 seconds and I had to turn it off because she was talking about Jesse Williams promoting a war on police. Look, the war is not on the police. The police, as he correct, like she even replayed the most important part of his speech where he's talking about police. And I'm like, I don't know how you can hear what he said and say that there's a war on police. He said the police are able to de-escalate with white offenders every day.
Yet he's black a people get... And you know, then she has a you know, she's debating against the video, so you don't have time, you don't have actual real-time rebuttal. Right? She's a horrible debater because he talks about Tamir Rice, and then she goes on right after she plays that clip to say, people well, actually, the statement, unarmed black man, is right. inaccurate because, you know, if someone is reaching for a weapon, that was not the
that
situation.
That was not Tamir Rice. That was not story. Tamir Rice.
That also was the situation with Trayvon Martin, who was stalked, a child who was stalked through his own neighborhood and killed. Like the hell. You know, everybody has the right to self-defense but us. Everyone has the right to due process but us. And they would be so alive if they didn't act so free. They didn't talk back. If they didn't, exactly. And that is exactly what she drives home. But at this point, I don't even really give her name. First of all, is Tomi Lahren. And
that.
She works at what? The Blaze. She does the Blaze is the thing. Yeah. She came on and said some stuff about Beyonce when Beyonce did the Super Bowl.
See, or, I don't listen to these
this
people.
This is her whole, her whole claim to fame, the whole way that she gets any kind of views, clicks, whatever you call it, is to troll the world with hate speech.
Absolutely. And so moving on from this person, I would like to call out the Billboard Awards, because this is what made us talk about the BET Awards to begin with. Because the Billboard Awards did, I can't even call it a tribute, with Madonna singing on a throne.
They did a trinot.
And BET was like, you know, they tweeted that night, don't worry, we got you. And they had us for real, for real. Like, I can't even promote Badu, but Bilal was on point. Janelle was on point. Jennifer Hudson.
Signed on a Badu performance?
No. Jennifer Hudson took us to church with her rendition of Purple Rain. And hey, Stevie was like, I got to redeem myself. I'm going to be on that stage. And play at the piano.
I love how Stevie is an equal opportunity old man. Love him.
Stevie said, I can't let that sit on me. But the highlight for me was most definitely the person Madonna and the person Billboard's called Irrelevant.
Sheila E.
Sheila E. gave the performance of a lifetime. So unfortunately, our boy D'Angelo was like, I ain't gonna be able to do it. Last minute. So D'Angelo D'Angelo and Sheila E. were meant to perform together. And D'Angelo was just like, he was a no-show all of a sudden. And, you know, he'd been struggling for the last 14 years. So I guess he was in his feelings about something. Maybe he thought he was going to have to take off his shirt again. I don't know. But Sheila E. was like, that's all right. I got this. I'm going to play the drums. And then I'm going to play the guitar. And then I'm going to play some more drums. And I'm going to run around the whole stage and make 20-year-olds wish they were me.
Instead of, like, trying to do all of those things like Alicia Keys.
Oh.
Requiem for Alicia Keys, can we?
But she wasn't doing a tribute. She was doing her own music.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's
so it was great. Thank you so much, BET.
Thank you so much. And the Billboard Awards wrote an article about it, and it was just so much shade. It was so much shade. They were acting like they were, you know, excited about it. But even just on like petty shit, they were like, well, when they made the announcement, we thought we were going to see one performance with a lot of these people. And it turned out pretty quickly at the beginning of the night that we were going to see several performances. How is
don't
that a
think
problem?
Prince is worthy of several performances, bitch?
I don't know how that's really a problem, Billboard.
They act like a Olympic athlete that won second place. It's like, I thought the four routine was only going to be three tricks. She did four. I didn't know four was allowed. I guess that's how y'all treat Romania. Like, I'm like, shut the hell, what are you talking about?
So while Jesse Williams was doing the most to promote Black women, I mentioned last week that a certain Cleveland team won the NBA.
Not the B-ball players.
And, one of the team members, a Black man who most people say is irrelevant on the team because most people only care about LeBron, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving is why straight people are doomed. I don't know. I just feel in the sense of that, like when you're straight and you're you know, gender normative, let's just say it. I feel like, you know, he just hasn't had any access to not being a fuckboy. So it was just like, there's no chance for him, right? He got one road straight ahead to fuckboyness, and that's it. With all the things that entails. That entails colorism, that entails internalized racism, and just the stereotype of, you know, a basketball dude who is completely obsessed with white women and doesn't even, like, not even like your average white woman, but like the kind of white girl that has no Black friends, right? Because if you don't invite, you know, Black girls directly. If you invite, you know, if I invite my white girlfriends, they gonna come with 2-3 Black friends, you know, right. Or at least, you know, some multi United Nations, something.
Well, gonna be he says that
what he everyone, invited the Aryan Nation on a yacht.
He said that was not an accurate depiction of what was actually happening at the party. So just to be clear, there was a video that circulated. He was having a yacht party to celebrate his championship. And at that yacht party, you could only see white women, mostly blonde, celebrating with him.
He said,
I was raised by a Black woman. I would never.
I just don't know any now. I was raised by a Black woman and it was great knowing her. But at this moment in my life, I'm not interested in fucking any Black woman. Let's just be real. Like, at least be honest. We got video evidence, my man.
Yes, we do.
And we know who you're going to be taking down the aisle. It's not a surprise. And I know she's going to be special and complete to you. Absolutely. But we also know she probably going to pass the paper bag test. Come on. Let's be real. He's a mess. But, you know, so is Nick Young, who got caught on security cameras cheating on Iggy Azalea.
Look, Nick Young has apparently got his baby mama pregnant again. And Iggy didn't even know about it until it came out in the press. This is like, he is definitely surpassing Chris Brown slowly but surely on his fuckboy status. It's just, it's too many things. It's over. Nick, you were playing for the right team because that's what the Lakers are known for. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Keep up the
good work. Kyrie Irving's like, don't forget about me. And I deny everything.
In our second segment, where to begin? Oh, racism.
So, not again.
Yes.
More racism.
Oh, racism.
I don't even see racism.
That's all we now, talk about. It's racism. So the point of talking about racism is visibility matters. This week, the Red Cross was called out on one of what had to be the most obvious fuck-ups. I need for them to fire the whole team who drew it, who signed off on it, who sent it out. Nobody had a clue.
Not even.
Red Cross sent out some pamphlets showing pool safety. And everybody who was doing right in the pool was a little white kid. And everybody who was doing wrong in the pool was a little brown kid.
They said, cool.
Cool.
They got a Black girl just straight up throwing a white girl in the pool. Like, but like, there's pushing a white girl, but then she is straight up doing a Hercules. I have picked this white girl up over my head and now I'm just going to throw this bitch. Right? Like...
It's such a bad picture.
They got a Latino with a beer bottle at the pool. Oh, God. Yeah, like, oh, man. And a Black person running with a Latino. Oh, my God.
What happens when you say you don't see color? First of all, color, that doesn't exist. You don't see color? Okay. You do if we're not invisible to you. It's just mind-boggling. And it comes when questions are being asked again because a certain police officer who was caught on video last year at a pool party full of Black kids, not only, but full of Black kids, at a community pool, it has to be said. And he's seen on video pulling out a weapon to a Black young male who's like trying to run away from the situation. No one is armed. Everyone is in pool attire, you know, swimwear.
So you can tell if they armed because, you know, you can't
they don't have anything on. Mosquito. Right. He then like drives his knees into the backs of one of the girls present and so on and so forth. He did quit shortly after that video. The police department distanced themselves quickly from him. And he himself admitted excessive use of force, yet the district attorney has still not made a decision on if they are going to move forward and press charges.
Because they don't want to set a precedent. They're like this blonde chick that trolls people and spreads hate speech. I mean,
she it doesn't just matter hate what the situation. She actually attacked the teenagers. There were two white women, maybe more, who came over, yelled at the teenagers for having the party there, told them to go back to their Section 8 housing. For those of you who don't know what Section 8 is, that's social housing. Told them to go back to their Section 8 housing, cussed them out, and then actually hit them. These are adults hitting adolescents. And then called the police on them. And the police responded by, instead of arresting the women who physically assaulted the teenagers, they decided to physically assault the teenagers themselves.
But that's how the police work. Police work as arms of white supremacy.
Of course.
Right. So it doesn't matter if you get into an altercation as a Black person with a white person, the police will always, always, always look at you as the threat and look at you as in the wrong. It really, you know, there are very few instances and they're so blatant where the police think differently.
Speaking of white supremacy, the symbol of white supremacy in the U.S. and not only used in the U.S., but the symbol in the U.S. is most blatantly the Confederate flag. Now, a lot of people from the South would try to disagree with that because
they don't know history.
But the Confederate flag is, if nothing else, a symbol of white supremacy. And as we posted, we just recently had the anniversary of 9 people who were killed at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And a person named Dylan Roof, a white young man who had loads of white supremacist garbage. I don't think he was ever called a terrorist. I think he was called a young man who was disturbed or troubled. Anyway, we had that anniversary. And then shortly after that, the anniversary of Bree Newsom, who climbed the South Carolina, at the State House, the South Carolina flagpole where the Confederate flag hangs. She climbed it and brought it down. Now, what a lot of people might not know about that story is this has like a whole history. South Carolina has not always had the flag up. There's been protest and activism over the last 15 years to remove the flag from the State House. And after the victims of that shooting while they were being buried, all of the flags at the State House were half-mast except the Confederate flag. The United States flag, the South Carolina flag, those were half-mast. The Confederate flag hung high. So she felt, Bree Newsom felt absolutely moved to take that flag down, even though she knew it would only be, you know, in that moment, she knew it was civil disobedience. She knew it would go back up. But it eventually did lead to the Confederate flag being removed completely. It came down on July 10th of 2015. 1 year on, again, I have to point out, this is a Black woman doing a damn thing. Mm-hmm. As Jesse Williams pointed out as well. But, you know, 1 year on, what does the struggle look like in South Carolina? I will say South Carolina was one of the few places where they acted quickly, yes, after video surfaced. But even with videos in New York and other places, nothing happened. After video surfaced of a police officer shooting and killing a man named Walter Scott in the back, he was charged and, you know, sent to jail for killing a Black man.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on in South Carolina? They're not North Carolina.
Oh, man. North Carolina breaking everybody's hearts. Everybody's hearts. I mean, this is what happens when you elect a set of people to government that don't believe in government. Well, I mean, and they're carrying on a Confederate legacy, right? Let's like that was kind of like how Confederates used to roll.
Yeah, but the South Carolina governor is a woman of South Asian descent.
But that don't mean nothing. So is Kyrie Irving, isn't he? Right? So is Clarence Thomas.
I'm just pointing it out.
So is Alan Keyes. So is Ben Carson. So is Whoopi Goldberg.
You better not put Whoopi Goldberg in the same bucket as Clarence Thomas.
Did you see that view, the last view that they had? In the last view, Whoopi, they start going in on the Jesse Williams piece. And there's a Black woman on here, and I do not know who she is. I'm sure she's famous. She on The View. And she was super articulate and super great at expressing what Jesse, you know, doing the quotes, kind of shepherding the conversation and talking about how relevant it was that he said what he said.
Uh-huh.
At the BET Awards. And then they started to tease out this point about cultural appropriation. They talked about the Justin Timberlake incident on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Whoopi basically said, cultural appropriation, it exists.
Okay, let's stay focused though. We're talking about politics right now.
You're gonna stay focused?
Yes, we've already talked about BET. So
you're gonna have to edit that. So it looked focused.
What was your point?
My point is that Whoopi gets to be in the club. She gets to be in the club with Ben Carson.
Okay. That's it. And what's this club? What do they do?
You know, some people would speculate on how they feel about themselves and mama and the entire Black race. All I would say is that they're completely not woke. They're definitely not interested in a collective we when they're talking about Black people. Mm-hmm. And they are very good at pushing their own agendas. And throwing other Black people and the collective of Black people under the bus while they do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
I think it's important to point out that the mass shooting in Charleston is actually one of the worst in mm-hmm. history. So, of course, there's Virginia Tech, there's Sandy Hook, there's Orlando, but 9 people died that day. And, of course, it depends on how you define mass shootings, but it was one of the worst in history, yet it didn't get any of that type of public interest, at least not in the media, because all 9 people were Black. Not to mention the fact that one of them was even a state senator and a reverend, Reverend Pinckney. So I think it's very interesting how these, it's just another observation of how things are treated differently. Dylann Roof, a white man, was not called a terrorist. They even let him, then they get some Burger King or something for him.
Mm-hmm. They arrested him very gently. And then took him to Burger King.
Took him to Burger King
because he was hungry.
He was hungry. They found all types of Aryan Nation, neo-Nazi, whatever, paraphernalia, Confederate, blah, blah, blah. He even had, I wouldn't call it a manifesto, but he had very clear writings of his own where he wanted to make America white again. Mm-hmm. Yet they did not want to call it a hate crime. And then no one saw the connection between the continued struggle of Confederate history and how it is taught in the South and the raising of the Confederate flag at state houses and how that connects to the mindset of someone like Dylann Roof. Mm-hmm. I will say he is facing the death penalty. Mm-hmm. That is one thing. But at the end of the day, he'll probably get some type of... Who knows?
Psychiatric shooting.
Right.
Yeah. Hand holding. Yeah, he'll get some hugs. He's going to get a lot of fan mail. That's for sure. That's the state of America right now. I mean, that's the state of the world. There's a worldwide movement to the right that is reflected in America, but it is not the only place where we see it, right?
No, absolutely not. Some places are moving faster than others.
Like your place. I'm sorry, post-Brexit. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't. I think that's been unfortunate that it's been seen that way. Brexit wasn't that simple. Brexit wasn't a matter of just moving right. Yeah, a lot of people played on the immigration bit, but in the UK, immigration is not what what they were playing on was European immigration, right? So they were playing on East Europeans, Poles who get caught out in the street right now, or people who have what are considered typical Polish features, tall, blonde, whatever, are caught out in the streets and told to go back home. It's a very different type of situation that people here have been.
More than racism.
It's xenophobia. Some people have used the word racism. Unfortunately, that is a misuse of the word. But there are many Black people, there are many Black immigrants in the UK who voted for Brexit. So it is quite a complex situation that I wouldn't call them, or I wouldn't be able to generalize.
That defines the majority. And this is coming back to Nikki Haley, who is the governor of South Carolina, who is of Indian descent. Her parents are from India. And Nikki Haley is an anglicized name that she made for herself. That's not what she was born as. She was not born as a Nikki.
Not unusual.
It's very similar to Bobby Jindal, who was the governor of Louisiana, who was born with a traditional Indian name, who changed his name to Bobby after Brady Bunch. So, I mean,
he became a Christian,
gave up his religion, everything. And you know, has a portrait painted of him that hangs up in the state house that lightens his skin, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so all of these things to me are representative of new immigrants that are very, very interested in closing the door behind them, mm-hmm. That are some of the most conservative gatekeepers of white supremacy, whether they want to call it that or not, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't really matter if Nikki Haley calls what she is doing around her policies white supremacy. It's still white supremacy. Same with Bobby Jindal. It's still white supremacy. And now it has a cover of a brown or a black face. Doesn't make it any less white supremacy. White supremacy is really flexible in that way. It doesn't need a white person at the foreground for it to function. So you asked me before what I thought about, you know, the governor of South Carolina being a person of color. And that's what I think about it. I think just because you're a person of color does not mean that you're not virulently anti-black, virulently xenophobic, virulently nationalist, conservative.
I didn't ask you what you thought about it. You were talking about white people, and I just wanted our listeners who may not know to understand that the South Carolina governor at the time and still currently is a woman of color.
In a sea of white advisors.
No doubt. It doesn't change anything, but mm-hmm. a lot of people would assume that because someone is a person of color, that they might not be capable of making the same mistakes.
And they would be wrong. They would be so sadly, sadly wrong. I mean, I think identity politics are over, right? In that sense, mm-hmm. is that identity politics have been co-opted by oppressive structures in a way that's very crafty. Mm-hmm. So you want to pass anti-gay legislation? Let's get a gay person to advocate for it. You want to pass...
Oh, well, you don't need a gay person to advocate for it. You just need someone who's in the closet who gets caught arrested for soliciting sex in a bathroom. That's normally how
Right. Or that. You know, you want to do anti-black legislation. Let's have some black person talk about how this is actually for the better of the community and make him the face of it. I mean, it gets really crafty.
Mm-hmm. Why do you keep bringing up Clarence Thomas? Leave the man alone. He's about to retire.
Why don't you leave him alone?
He's still making
Supreme Court decisions.
He's about to retire.
A horrible one the other day, too.
No, he got shut down on his. He wrote... I think it was 6-2, actually. He got shut down on the thing he was trying to disturb. Domestic abusers cannot buy guns. It is done.
That's good. And he also got shut down on the abortion clinic regulations that were super, super restrictive.
Right.
But, you know, Clarence Thomas always rules on the side of state rights.
Yes, of course, because it's Clarence.
But he did win some, including the right for... police to use the evidence
that is
legal search.
We've already talked about it. In our third segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to getting on a plane and going to South America tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to all the...
You're not going to South America tomorrow morning. You're going to New York. And then hopefully, by the end of the day,
Stop it.
You wouldn't made it.
Stop it.
In the propeller plane.
Oh my God. You said propeller plane. Stop it. It's not 1970s, you know, Mo. I'm going to get on a jet plane. They even have a runway. I'm clearing it now.
That's dirt. It's
a
dirt road.
So I'm going to probably the tiniest country.
Yes, I think it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so funny. Today I saw some people, I'm going to Guyana. They were like, the Gaga what? You going to the...
You going to Guinea. Oh, okay.
Right. You going to Ghana. I get it.
That's that little twang. Oh, okay.
So I'm really excited about that. I'm a really, really trying my best to have internet so we could do the podcast from down there. I have, you know, no idea what to expect.
I'm not hopeful, but we can try.
You're not hopeful.
Oh, you know what, though? Go on. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, now you got ideas. She's going to hook me up with like a MacGyver solution. It's going to be like, okay, so what you do is you run a cocktail and I'm going to have internet with like two branches. But it's going to be all right. I'm so excited about it. I'm really excited to, you know, have a break from Europe at this very, very tense moment. I love living here. But it's rough right now. It's rough. EU's in a rough, rough time. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that are going on about it come from a premise of racism isn't a thing. Like, that's a starting point. And so if that's the starting point, I can't really have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And without an acknowledgement of you know, this kind of like European history of colonialism and world domination. So I'm happy to go to the so-called third world.
No, please don't use that
South.
Term. Please don't use that term.
Huh?
Please don't use that term.
Yes, that's why I said so-called.
Nope. Don't need it at all.
Third world is like Voldemort. He who shall not be named. The term we're going to use.
I can't.
And, you know, just shift perspective for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And while what's happening here in Vienna, I'm really excited about it. A lot of things are popping off. There's an artist collective that is starting. There's so many events that I'm missing. I'm not even going to mention them because I'm sad that I'm missing them. Mm-hmm. But I'll be coming back in August to the European side of things, refreshed, renewed, reclaimed, ready for the entire world.
Reclaiming you.
What'd you say?
You said reclaim. I just wanted some.
Reclaim. That's right. Africa is going to reclaim me.
Oh.
You said how? So, you know, Haiti, I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And every single advisory in the Western world, Americas and Germans right now are saying, don't go to Haiti. Haiti dangerous. It's going to be an adventure.
So long.
I'm going to take my machete, boo-boo. It's all right.
Say goodbye.
Singing me a little. Oh, okay. Singing me the parting song. I'm looking forward to it. What are you looking forward to? Living in the center of the universe. It's an island on its own. And it don't need nobody else.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the musical interlude. I'm looking forward to the fact that next weekend at this time, I'll be packing up a car and off to go to the inaugural retreat that I have founded for Black women and women of color. It is yoga, meditation, yes. Grounded movement.
That's right.
Vegan and vegetarian food.
Yes.
We have a swimming pool.
Right.
Yeah, it's going down. So I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, working hard to get it fully booked. If it were up to bloggers and press, it'd be fully booked by now, but, you know, no one would have paid a dime. So I really don't understand how press and bloggers work. They just want to live off of freebies. That's deep. Maybe I chose the wrong profession.
Well, it's not like they get paid for articles anymore.
That's true. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm building a team and we're going to try to expand the offer to offer urban retreats, not just weekend retreats where we leave the city, but also urban retreats where we just have a day in London. Yeah, just a day. For those who can't afford or get away or travel, that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much my life right now.
That's awesome. Going to Blacktopia, baby.
Let's hope so. I think it's going to be amazing. I have an amazing team that I'm working with. The food is just going to be dope. We have a Ghanaian chef, an Angolan chef.
Yes. Okay, so vegan food, but like with people that understand a spice?
Yes, exactly.
Know what a season is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's my point right there.
The plantains happening.
That's okay. So I could probably rocks with it.
Yeah, they got a whole box just a spice. They were even asking, is the spice still allowed? I said, the spice is a must. Yes. You know, because they were asking.
In some branches of yoga, or some sects of yoga, they're like, you can't have no garlic. You can't. Okay.
I see, now I've heard those things before, but I study yoga in India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just, that was always confused me. I'm like, okay, so it's about yoga. Yoga come from India. You say no garlic? Because the old Indian woman I know, they fingers be smelling like garlic. You know what I mean? Like there's just a constant garlic aroma.
Right.
So I'm not sure what that's about.
They got the spices on tap. No, it's happening. It's happening. So I'm very, very much excited about that. And I'm excited that the sun shines sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It don't shine too often.
Okay, for those of you that are listening, you can't see this woman, but this woman is clearly in Alaska in the middle of winter. It's wearing a straight up, very, very thick hoodie.
I always wear my hoodie though. That's like my podcast recording hoodie. Mm. I'm like DeRay, just with like a gray bitch hoodie instead of a blue
vest. Okay, that's your safety blanket for podcasting. Okay, I got it. But it seemed cold.
I could not really warm right now.
I'm in Vienna, so I can't put a hoodie like that on without having a, you know, a little mini sauna. Hoodie would be drenched. It is hot, and no place has AC. No place, especially not my place.
Well, you don't need it. You'll be all right.
You say you don't need it. Meanwhile, it's 97 degrees. All right.
Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we discussed today, so feel free to get at us. Until next time, peace out.